Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Banging Book Club. I'm Hannah Witten. Am I a good presenter?
Nothing funny about that.
No. I'm Lucy.
Lucy Moon.
Yeah, that's me.
And who are you?
Present and correct. My name's Lena.
Yay.
Hey.
Oh, here.
So if you're here, you've probably seen our non-spoilery review discussion on my YouTube channel of Asking For It by Louise O'Neill. We've done that, so this is going to be full of spoilers and we're just going to jump straight in. If you want a summary review,
go there.
Go
there.
Elsewhere.
Also,
get out.
Also read the book because
yeah.
Spoilers.
This is going to be, we're going to go on the assumption that you've read the book, basically.
Yeah. Welcome. It's the first time we're doing this.
Bang! I feel like we should have a bang as our theme tune.
Should we have a theme song?
We need to get a saucepan. Bang!
That won't be very nice for the headphone listeners.
Yeah, that's just
boom!
I know your headphones broke. They were asking for it.
Yeah. Can we make jokes?
Oh, I'm not sure.
We'll find out by the comments.
Yeah.
I'm sure the internet will tell us whether we're allowed to make jokes. No jokes at the victim's expense. I think that's the line we'll draw.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
Line in the sand.
Also, guys, trigger warning, rape and suicide.
Cool.
There we go.
Just out there.
Yeah.
That's all you need to say.
Song. I mean, it's not like I'm going to write a little.
I feel like that's all you need to say, really. We're going to be discussing those things.
Those are the things that are in here.
Yeah. The book has that stuff in it. Mm. If you are affected by any of the issues that we're going to be talking about, I'm going to leave some links in the description of this podcast, if that's at all possible. I know nothing about podcasts. Or in the link of the video that's going to be on my channel.
We'll make it findable.
Yeah, it'll be findable. There'll be links there where you can find support.
Okay, do you want to jump in to just talk? Because we've been struggling not to talk about it until this moment, and now it's here.
Now it's here.
There's just too much to say.
A general consensus opinion, if you could say how you feel about the book in three words.
Oh God, Lucy,
thoughts in three words or less.
Frustrated, sad. Angry. Is that the same as frustrated? Those are the first three words I thought of.
Cool, that's good.
Call to arms.
Oh, it's a sentence as well, guys.
Oh.
Didn't like it.
Kind of four words, but yeah. We'll take it. It's fine. We're allowed apostrophes.
Yeah. What's our first on our
podcast? Okay, so first on, we were trying to organise our thoughts a little bit, just because I think we all have so many. Mm. But I thought maybe
Speak for yourself.
Two of us have some thoughts, Hannah. You can go and brew some while we talk. We want to talk about structure first, because I thought this was a really interesting way they kind of structured it. Does anybody want to go first on that? Because,
yeah. Well, it's in two parts, and then they miss out on an entire year, basically.
I feel like at the beginning you're so present, and it's not just that it's... Because with a lot of kind of traumatic narratives, you kind of hear about it afterwards in retrospect and the author thinks that's more shocking. But with this, you see her before, you judge her before, you are with her during, and you see it afterwards, and then there's this massive blind spot where you don't see anything for a year.
Yeah. And that's a bit of her demise that you miss. You miss the demise part of it.
And when you get brought back into the narrative, she's a wreck.
Yeah.
And as the reader, I think if you were in it through her downfall kind of thing. Can we call it a downfall? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Slow spiral.
We jump back into it when she's depressed, she's suicidal, and she, and because you haven't been there and seen it deteriorate, like, if you were there during that, I think as a reader you'd feel like you could pull her out of it and there's some hope.
Yeah.
Whereas when you just get jumped right into it and she's fucked, it's like you feel helpless,
yeah,
I guess,
because you think that the adults would have sorted it out by now. You think, of course they're going to be confused in the beginning, but this will all blow over, and it hasn't. And that's, actually, maybe now I'm thinking about it, that's probably one of the most clever things about it, is that you think it happened, you think these kind of things happen in a small time frame and they'll sort themselves out, and then just even, jumping to that and being like, joke's on you, they don't.
Even when they say, oh, it might be another 2 years until a trial happens, and that whole second section of the book, is the pace is so much slower than the first, and you're just there just like, that's, it's just what, killing you. Yeah. It's killing you reading.
That's
it.
What stood out to me was like the repetition of the days, the words she's using, the phrases that keep coming up
it's
in the narrative.
It's always boring.
Yeah, yeah. But, I was definitely like, when's the next bit coming?
Yeah, yeah.
And it never came. And that obviously that's a rhetorical device, basically.
Yeah, judging it as like a piece of fiction, the first half is well exciting. And then the second half becomes boring.
But then it makes me realise that it's very stagnant, and the way that I've personally been kind of like trying to talk about rape culture and talk about consent and talk about blaming is within my little internet sphere. And I've realised that, one, it's all very well to be like, oh good, it's solved because we all agree that consent should happen and we agree that these are the conditions of consent. But actually, it doesn't matter, because it's the generations before us that are going to have to deal with teenagers like that. And it's the law that's going to have to orchestrate, not me. I don't get to intervene in the law part and the law. So actually, I think I should have less of these conversations online and more of them like directly at the police. But I'm not really sure how to do that.
Yeah, and we always talk about...
I'm yet to devise a plan.
They call the police in Ireland the guard.
Oh yeah, I love
it. Oh yeah.
And then would they do like Irish phrases like, cop on. Why can't you just cop on, Dad?
I love that. I kept on trying to read it in my head in Irish accents, but even my brain Irish.
She did insert
failed.
Stuff like "sure." They said "sure" a lot.
Yeah. Sure,
sure,
sure. Okay, I saw the minister. Okay. Yeah. Also, what I wanted to say about structure was the use of brackets. So a lot of the time, she already preempts. I think a lot of what happens to her is stuff that she already knows that people will say. Mm. And with the court case, she never actually goes to court. She just imagines that she's been to court and she knows the kind of things they'll say. So she inserts a lot of other people's like narratives on her life
but
in brackets.
You say knows they'll say, but a lot of it's what she thinks they'll say. There are sympathetic characters, like tertiary characters. And like characters you hear of in the book, but she assumes.
So do you think part of her like not that we're blaming her? But like, do you think part of her spiral is more her preempting it and perhaps not completely correctly?
Yeah. Her perceptions of it have definitely shaped her interpretation of the events, and her parents' perceptions, her community's perceptions. However, there are people in the community that you see that don't hold that necessarily.
Yeah,
like her therapist. For example, who she just won't talk
open
to.
Up to at all.
Yeah.
I think the brackets thing, because she uses the brackets when talking about her own feelings and thoughts as well. So she'll say one thing out loud to a friend and then the brackets will be there saying what she's really thinking. Mm. And I think because she's kind of that type of person, she expects everyone else to be that type of person who isn't telling her the truth. And so she's making up what she thinks they think.
Because it's established from the beginning she's a dishonest person.
Well, yeah, this is what I was going to bring up, the whole unlikable. She's not a friend. She's not somebody that I would call a friend or somebody.
Are we moving on to Emma's character now?
Yeah, I guess that's where we're going to an unlikable narrator. Let her rip, guys.
I have real issues with trying to like a book when I don't like the protagonist. I totally understand why we're not meant to like the protagonist.
Yeah.
But Emma is difficult. She's so hard. She is everyone I knew in my grammar school. Like, awful.
She's just conceited. She's arrogant. She's a bitch. But she's so many things. But then you go in reading it, knowing what's going to happen to her. You already know the premise of the book, basically. I'm assuming we all did. But yeah, so you know that. And you're reading it and you want to like her because you know what's going to happen to her. So you want to be on her side, and you're reading it and you hate her and the way that she behaves and like...
She's venomous.
And all
and actually
these things,
there's not enough foundation for you to go, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Because there's really not enough there.
Exactly.
She doesn't give her the gratification of having a really horrific background to blame her bitchiness on. She is just kind of is a bitch.
She's just that way. But then it's almost like forcing the reader into a position of rape culture.
Yeah,
she's forcing you to be in it, yeah. and you have to try so hard to resist it. Yeah. Especially, like, even, like, I guess as us, as people who, we get it, we know. But even
yeah,
then...
Yeah, it really complicates even then, your idea of, like, good and bad characters.
Yeah, you're reading it, and you're like... Was she asking for it? No, of course not. And you have
yeah,
to check
yourself.
Yeah,
it inserts like more of a justice system yeah. into the idea of it, because like you were saying, like they're the people that we knew at school that were kind of quite mean to us, probably, I'm yeah. guessing. Like, I know these girls. Yeah. I know you, Emma. I know you. We've met before. But like, it's like, yeah, it's unfair. They're probably not very nice, but what do they deserve in return?
Yeah.
And it's like, not yeah. this.
It just frustrated me that like they were out of, can we move on to the girl gang?
Yeah,
and, like,
sure.
incorporate uh-huh. that into this. All the girls were... not quite as bad as Ember, from what we could tell, but really not nice.
Mm. It didn't seem like they were friends.
No, I was really...
Is that what teenage girls are like now?
They were just so mean to each
we're
other.
We're so behind the times. Yeah. Have they turned into cyborgs? Are they
I'm
all
really
evil
confused.
Now? I don't think, but then I think also it's to do with your... Like, well, is it? I don't know. Okay, in my day, I feel like... Like, there was a direct correlation between how sexually active a group of friends were and how pretty they were and mm-hmm. how they were treated in society and therefore how connected to each other they were.
Interesting.
So, like, wow. different. Where I think I had really, really close friends, but that's because I don't think we were in the top tier.
From my experience.
No offence to my friends and me, but we're all a bit... We're all a bit awkward, mate. And none of us had sex. None. There was no sex was being had.
From my experience with the very strict social hierarchy at school, the girls at the top generally didn't like each other at all. They were there because
it yes. kept them there.
Yes, exactly.
Whereas the people at the bottom kind of club together.
Yeah, and they would make
like
each
a big
other
sludge
feel
of happiness
insecure
at the
to make sure that they stuck with one another. Mm. You know, they were like, oh, you know, God. The only security you have is us. We'll make you feel bad, so you stay with us? Yeah. It was very weird. Anyway, so that was kind yeah. of realistic in that sense, but they're all not nice.
No, nice. But Jamie, it's really interesting that they just kind of like threw it in there.
Oh, wow,
she...
there's like some racial undertones to that as well.
Oh, there was.
Like, she was like, that's the problem. Emma was like massively racist.
I didn't
like,
realise Jamie was
Asian.
Oh, so they yeah. kept, she kept being like, well, she's only, in her head, she was like, well, she's only, everyone's like, oh, Jamie's so pretty, she's almost as pretty as you. And she'd be like, she's only pretty in an Asian way. Or like, if yeah. like a boy found her attractive, she'd be like, well, he's probably just into Asian girls.
Yeah.
God. Awful.
Yeah.
But like, this is Emma.
That totally went over my head, which yeah. is even worse.
It was when they were like, there was like
so
some.
Ass.
Yeah. But no, but yeah. Also, Jamie.
Oh, God.
I mean, we don't know if Jamie was raped, but we assume Jamie was raped. She went through a yeah. similar thing to Emma, and Emma was the one that knew about it and comforted her, but also told her not to say anything.
Yeah, like it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Not that it didn't happen, but it's not worth it.
But I think it's really interesting that they like. That it's written in there that happened, rather than just making it, this is a one-off, one person that it happened to kind of thing, and yeah. actually showing it for what it really is, which is
more
cultural. Yeah, it's a yeah. more common thing. It's not just like isolated incidents.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's got a recognisable yeah. thing in them. People mm-hmm. can. Well, that's what like in the afterward, the author says like once people found out I was writing this book, I got an onward stream of friends coming to me being like, "This is what happened to me. This is
yeah.
what happened to me. This is what happened to me." Mm. And it's like, yeah, it's very recognisable. I guess that leads on as well. We're talking about popular girls to the idea of beauty in the book
mm.
and how she knows that she's beautiful.
She's meant to be gorgeous.
Can't really. I think 10 years ago I would have been like, I hate her because she's beautiful, and now I hate her. I think I hate her because I know she's beautiful, but now I know there's probably... It's not bad to think that you're good-looking.
But there's a way about
you know?
It.
But then it's the way she treats it.
The way that she talks. And arrogance.
Yeah.
It's the age-old... Like.
But then if she's been taught that that's her currency, like, her mum isn't great with her in some ways, because she's mm. like, you're going to be a heartbreaker. Oh, that's what you'll have. You're going to be so pretty, and that's why
yeah.
you're going to be successful.
And her dad values her when she's pure.
Yeah. Even her love interest at the end. I know spoilers are fine, aren't they? Her yeah. love interest at the end. Like, even his, like, little, oh, I'm going to send you a lovely email mm. talking about how... And it's just like, I just can't stop thinking about how good you looked. I've never
yeah.
seen somebody look... that good, and you're like,
beautiful.
Oh, genuinely fuck off. Do
yeah.
we swear
yeah.
on these podcasts?
Yeah, yeah, I've
yes,
already said them.
Yeah.
And being like, I know you don't want to hear it, and you won't listen, but you are beautiful.
Cop the fuck on.
Cop
as I think, if I was Irish, I would say.
What was his name?
Connor.
I don't even care.
Connor.
Nobody now remarries
See,
Connor,
I liked they? Connor as a character
mm.
before all the emails.
Yeah, but he doesn't seem to know her very well. Oh, I guess they grew up together.
They grew up together.
Yeah, but why? I judge him for liking her, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's...
Are you drunk, mate?
I definitely think he's just infatuated by her because they grew up together and
he was
she's
like,
the girl next door.
Girl next door, best
she
friend.
She fantasized that about as well. Was at the end, she's like, oh, I wish that we, I wish I'd said yes to him, and I wish that we'd got started dating, we'd fall in love, and then I could tell my grandchildren how that I'd made him wait. Mm, and then at the end, I fall in love with him, and I was like, because that's the idea, is that I made him wait, and that's that's the other path she should got, could have gone down.
Yeah.
But didn't.
It's not like settle with the boy next door or get raped, though.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's not like one or the other.
Yeah. You're now making me realise just how much of the book is filled with norms in society.
Oh,
or like, yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
Also, on the beauty thing, I realised the her friend's mum, who is a super, is she a supermodel? She's famous for something.
She's in
super
Vogue. Rich.
She was an
she?
L. She's a model, and she was the one who was modelling in the pool. And then at the end, she comes in, and her mum is dressed as Lady Godiva, and then she's dressed as Marie Antoinette, which I think is really clever because you know the story of Lady Godiva is that she
gets naked on a horse.
Yeah, so
it's
her
in a protest for something.
Yeah, so her like the Coventry,
a local
place more. That some of us know. The Lord Crave, was it Lord Crave? I don't know. Anyway, the minister, the man. No,
you got
minister,
this.
The mayor. Okay, cut, Hannah. Her husband has decided to tax all of the townspeople with more tax, and in protest, she says that she's going to ride around the streets naked if he doesn't stop taxing the peasants and being horrible to them. And he says no, so she takes all of her clothes off and rides around naked as her currency, as her protest. And then all of the people in Coventry, because they're nice, turn around in respect for her. So nobody actually sees her naked, apart from this guy called Peeping Tom, who looks, and he's a bastard.
Peeping Tom?
His name's Peeping Tom. So we've got a really creepy clock in Coventry where Peeping Tom comes out and does this. And looks at Lady Godiva naked. It's horrible. But I think it's interesting, there's that imagery in the book where it's like beauty is a currency and it's an act of protest, but only if... Like, she's... Like, the mum is modelling because she's chosen to... And then
for the greater good of society.
Yeah, exactly. Because she's glamorous and it's all hilarious. With Emma, it's non-consensual.
So interesting.
Yeah. Also, I feel so sorry for Ali, who's the daughter of the rich family. And basically, Emma's just like, she doesn't deserve all this money. I'm beautiful. I should have.
Thinking what I'm thinking. I should have been her daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't really feel sorry for Ali. I find Ali really irritating. I'm like,
she is irritating.
Judgments.
Yeah.
I just feel like...
she's only friends with them because she's rich. I feel like that's the reason they let her in the gang, is because she's rich.
And she'll be their bitches. Yeah. Their bitch.
Okay.
Good words.
I think we've covered girl gang a bit, or lack of girl gang.
Yeah.
And also, it's also interesting because you don't really see them interact with any other age groups. I feel like... I want to idealise my childhood, but I feel like other age groups of girl would have stood in for me and been like, hey, I know that your friends are being rubbish, but I'm 2 years older than you and I'm going to look after you.
Really?
I feel like there's loads of people in my life that would have been like...
Well, no. Some of the boys are
older. You don't
older.
Really see... Yeah.
Like, Paul was like 10 years older or something.
So...
I think, because he's...
Creepy.
He was like... In his 20s, definitely.
Yeah, and everyone's like, why is he even at the party?
She's 28
and she's 18.
There you go.
There you go.
It's so repulsive.
Do you want to talk about, because we've just been talking about how her town have reacted to it, but do you want to talk more about how the world reacts to it? So she trends on Twitter.
She trends on Twitter. I believe
and
the,
she,
yeah. the ballad.
Oh, we decided to say name. What's her name?
Ballad.
Did we write down?
Balinatoon.
We're going to call it from now on. Sorry, all Irish people, but for now we're going to call it Balinatoon because we Googled it. It turns out it's a fictional place. So you were asking for it, Ireland. We're just going to make this up.
Oh, God.
So Balinatoon. I believe the Balinatoon girl.
Yeah. It's interesting that her identity is protected and yet she doesn't feel like it's protected.
Well, because she lives in such a small town, everyone knows it's about her. But the
and
wider
then
world
the tourism starts dropping because...
Oh,
it's
I know.
So weird. And like they keep mentioning Jezebel and like the Guardian.
It's not touching her or helping her because I think, again, it's that whole like you were saying, like London is an idealistic place in this. Mm. And I think London talks to London and the media talks to the media. And of course, like, everybody's going to want to talk about it, but it doesn't mean it's actually helping the person you're talking about.
It was
because
so,
they're just not in that world.
Yeah. Mm. It was so interesting reading that because I imagined that like if something like that happened, we would all be on board with that hashtag.
Oh,
we
totally would have tweeted
that. We would
tweeted
be using that hashtag and supporting her and, like, sharing stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then just reading that, I'm like, but
Am I helping?
Yeah, when you're in this like social media club or in like the London club or in the journalism club, you always think there's like accepted norms that you're already working on. And that's not for this girl. She doesn't know. She doesn't know the meaning of consent. She doesn't know the like the idea of consent in a proper like educational way.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know. I don't know. I don't think she identifies as a feminist.
Oh, I doubt she does.
Assume not.
Can pretty we talk shitty about? We don't hate on other feminists, but I think there's room for improvement.
Can we dive right in and talk about the sex scene with Paul?
Oh, let's dive in.
Messy. That was horrific reading.
Yeah, because, I don't even know what to say about that because I'm just like, it's terrific.
I'm reading it and being like, "That's rape, love."
Mm.
And she's just. Oh, describing it as if she's just like waiting for it to be over, but also kind of like
it's a reputational thing, isn't it?
But it's also, like a... but it's not just that. It's like a, it's a repetitive thing. Like she's clearly
done this before,
and to her, it's not about pleasure. To her, it's just about the conquest.
Yeah,
and she says that all the time. She's like, "Tonight, I'm gonna fuck this
person." But then she denies it.
Well, this is the thing. That's the whole point. She's like, I'll fuck people and then I'll make sure they lie about it to say that we never did.
Mm.
And I don't get it.
It's just like the whole double standard thing. Like, and just that scene. Oh my God.
Because so it's the not problem. Well, she. I don't remember properly. Is she claiming that the first time she had sex with Paul, the one that we see, the one that she remembers, the one that we know happened, we all know it all happened, but that's the one we hear about. Is she claiming that that's part of the abuse or not?
I'm not sure.
She doesn't really.
Because Paul was in the other pictures as well, so I think he's involved in that part of it.
Yeah, I doubt anyone knows about the bit that we read about
the actual sex.
Yeah. Because she's reluctant. She doesn't even say the word rape, does she?
No, she
hates the word rape.
She calls it that word.
And she won't.
But the problem is she doesn't even remember it. Like, that's what's horrible. That's why
everything's
feels...
told through the photos.
She's being told what's happened to her.
Yeah, through Facebook, through messages.
Rather than having remembered experiencing it.
But that scene with Paul, the one that we do witness, basically, because she does remember that one, I guess. I've just heard so many stories, just like online or from people or in other fictional books, and it's the same thing. Like, they don't say yes, they don't say no. The whole time during it, they don't like it and just lying there like a plank wishing it was over. And the guy afterwards is just like, oh, that was amazing. And you're like, dude,
what happened?
You need to have better sex. That's not sex.
I have so much to say and I'm like, I don't.
Go on.
Haven't we all had sex like that though?
This
to
is
a certain
thing.
Extent.
This is the thing.
What I think is brilliant about that is that we don't see the sex that is rape or the sex that everybody's talking about is rape. We see the scene before, which is just really unfavourable sex that isn't.
You saw that as unfavourable sex, I saw that as rape.
Yeah, I saw it as rape.
Ooh.
Really interesting because I thought of it as not like shitty people with no consent and him being horrible. Oh, I'm gonna have to reread it to think. I don't know, it's because in retrospect I think everything else happened to her afterwards. I was like, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That was better.
Better than the rest.
Favourable.
I see that as being like another really grotesque part we get to watch because he's given her drugs and then
that's
been
afterwards,
like,
isn't it?
No, that was before. But if you've consented to it actively, it's different.
Yeah, just because it's bad sex doesn't mean it's rape.
God, but consent is so complicated because you can consent and then want to take it away, but you don't retract it.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can retract it, but if you don't retract it,
and how?
Yeah, and there should be constant affirmation.
Yeah, but that's like,
I think there's an issue with politeness here, and this might even be more of a like
an ego.
Yeah, definitely.
A British thing than anything is that like I'm quite polite about it, so I'm like, what is the most polite way I could proceed in this sexual?
I literally
like, genuinely. That's scary. I'm hearing myself, but like I'm like, what is the least awkward way this could go down?
I just say my vagina's tired.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
How do they respond, Hannah? Because they don't respond very well.
They stop having sex with me. And then maybe we do some other stuff that doesn't involve my vagina, like being pounded.
Yeah.
You know? But then I'm coming from an entirely different place where I'm very comfortable talking about sex. And not a lot of people are like that. Mm. So it's a very different ball game. I've also been in situations where the other person has said the same thing, that they're tired. And so then we stop.
Yeah, definitely. I've, yeah. Yeah.
There was something I wanted to mention that's
made me think loads.
Lost my mind.
All in a positive way, eventually, I assume.
There's something else to add about the sex scene that's totally set my mind. Give me like 1 second to like bring it back.
It's fine. We'll give Hannah's hands.
Does he? And he doesn't use a condom.
Sorry.
Pretty sure he doesn't. But she says, should I get a condom? Oh no, wait. If I get the condom out, he'll think I'm a slut.
Yeah.
Oh!
Double standards again.
What is the? I can't. Oh, I wanted to talk about the drugs really, really briefly.
Yeah.
Mm. Just, he gives her MD, right?
Is that what it is? Yeah. I'm not very cool.
It's MD. Not the. She describes it really unconvincingly because he's taken it as well. Like, the whole thing and the pill as well, like, I know it's all meant to be extreme, but that bit just totally lost me because it was unrealistic.
Did she just start making out with everyone?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, she made out with her friend's boyfriend.
Yes, exactly. And it's just really, like, I don't know, they lost me a bit during the scene because I was like, yeah, this is what it should be like in my brain. Yeah, this beginning bit, yeah, this is good, this is how it is. And then, not like the drugs, but like the whole...
It made sense.
Yes, how the party was going made sense to me. And then when it's like, you made out with all these friends, like, I can totally understand the blacking out.
That was the point when she just switched, though. You could just see it.
Yeah.
Is that so that she can never... Because, like, if you black out, sometimes stuff returns to you later. Whereas, if you have a drug blackout, it just generally doesn't come back. Is that true? Is that what I'm making
that? Sure. I was just really confused by the way they approached it. They gave her MD and then some kind of pill, and then she ends up sunburn and gang raped. And just that bit that you kind of miss out on.
Yeah.
Sunburn and gang raped. But a bit before that, with all the kissing the friends and stuff, it just felt so... totally unconvincing to have alienated people. You would have thought they were trying to keep her on the down low if they were gonna like rape her.
But then again, well,
they weren't planning
whole, like,
on it. This is the thing. Whole, like,
they're good boys. They don't. Yeah. It doesn't sound.
Wait,
like...
Wait. So do you think that they were giving her the pills so they could all fuck her later?
No. I think it just the way that the drug part of it panned out seemed very unrealistic and a bit of a weird plot device because everything else was so realistic that then the party scene just kind of totally disintegrated, but it didn't
that was still anything. Before she had sex with Paul though.
She does definitely have the drugs before Paul.
She has the pill afterwards, and she has MD before, so she takes her bomb beforehand. That's when she's running around kissing everyone, going really
she's
happy.
Super high.
And then
she takes something
as well. You can't actually have sex on MD if you're a boy. Your penis gets like... So he...
Who knew?
That's not logical.
That's not logical. How is it working? But yeah, she takes another pill afterwards.
And
that's
all
of the other boys are in the room.
And she's also taking codeine cups. So they've got cough syrup and they're adding vodka to the cough syrup. Like Calpol shit, but like really strong Calpol shit. There's a whole conversation at the beginning. So she's on 3 different drugs, theoretically. One's a painkiller. Oh no, 4. Alcohol, painkiller... Yeah, spirit painkiller, MD, something else. The pill, we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It just seems like...
It's so interesting.
That's too extreme in a way.
Her reasoning for taking the drugs, though, was just like, I'm not going to be this person that they think I am. Like, they don't know me. And it's very, like... It's that ego thing.
Yeah.
It very much is feeling like...
It's like constantly like, trying to construct yourself and be like, this is who I am, so I'm going to do this thing.
You do watch the disintegration of her ego, don't you? It goes it's from this all
I'm sure
high.
There's like a psychoanalysis where you could read this book. I'm sure there's an essay here somewhere. Yeah. Deep down.
We've got to find it. Should we talk about her family?
Yes.
They're awful, except her brother, who is great.
But even then, he's still a bit
Summary
held
back.
Hannah
Wharton. They should all die.
Except
but
the
Brian
brother.
Can live.
Brian can stay.
What a hot name. Oh,
Brian.
I'm so in love.
Lena
so
loves
crushing
Brian.
on her brother.
The dad just ignores her. It's that whole, like, she was a daddy's girl, perfect, pure.
Yeah, it's a purity thing.
It is, it's like, massively, like, weirdly paedophilic. I think, because it's like, I will only love you if you are pure and innocent, but now you have tarnished yourself, you're not part of my family. I think there's something weird and sexual about men like that.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I think there's something. I'm like, sorry, do you know, like, they can't handle somebody as their property and also sexual, unless they're sexual with them. And
you're
I'm
right,
like,
it's a property
there's something
thing,
really
it?
Fucked up with that, yeah. Mate. Like, that's masculinity on fucking drugs.
And a pride thing as well. So much of it's pride in the sense that he's like, oh, the whole town knows about me and stuff, and he tries to like stay out of the house and like distance himself from. Yeah. The family.
Oh, he just stays away. But then also when they're talking about the potential trial and how they could ask questions and like bring up Emma's sexual history, and he's like in denial that she has any sexual history. Mm. He's just like...
And just the implication that never really occurred to me about court, where I can see that happening, where they go, I don't know if they're allowed to now, but I'm sure they did. Like, hopefully they don't now, but like ask, you know, how were you like, what were you like with sex before this? I want to know all of your sexual history, and that could incriminate you or not, depending on.
I mean, like, can't. Legally.
Like, to think now, every, can't. Like, yeah. Imagine if I was, like, now, going through my life thinking every time I have sex, that might come back on me at some point if something does, somebody does something sexually
I
horrible
think
to me.
Legally
I don't think you'd be able to.
But then, just, but I bet they'd ask, and I bet you'd have
I think
to say
legally
no
they can ask, but I think the jury can't use that as evidence.
But the jury will hear it.
The jury will hear it.
The jury
exactly.
bias. Also, and the jury are just the general public who are bloody ignorant
exactly.
as everybody else in this story.
And any rape
I have a really big problem
about...
with juries being used in certain contexts without education. Like,
a
I'm
rape
really
trial
massive.
Is about getting the jury on side and to like you. That's basically...
Which is impossible because the jury is just like a random handful of like possibly like... Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's not be rude about random people. Area. They're just too randomly selected
family.
For my liking.
Her mum.
The mum.
She's lacking.
Oh, there's so, something she says right towards the end that makes you really realise her true colours. Because always you're a bit like, oh, gee.
It's, what I'm thinking of is when Emma decides to withdraw her complaint. And so basically is saying, I'm not going to trial. Her mum then starts to revert back to her old ways and saying, you look beautiful today, Emma.
Yeah, that was
because
it was saying, like,
we're so
you've doomed
you.
The family. Like,
yeah,
you're putting
I
us
think,
through all this, that attitude.
The whole, like, you can tell she blames Emma for the shit show that her life is now. And so she's actually, like, relieved. Like, her and the mum and dad are so pleased when Emma decides to withdraw the complaint. Because they're just like, brilliant, now we can get back to normal and be a normal, happy family without a raped daughter.
Yeah.
And, like, Brian is the only one who's just like, what the fuck?
Like, what are you
doing?
Yeah.
But Brian also doesn't deal with it very well, I personally think. We can go straight back to the
He's definitely projecting onto Emma. He definitely has a lot more progressive views about it, but he's projecting onto someone
He
who
is also kind of like the first person to be like, you disgust me.
Like, oh,
when
gosh,
like, she's,
yeah.
He's,
yeah.
He's like, have you been on Facebook? Before she sees he's like, have you been on Facebook? And everybody reacts like that first. Nobody thinks she's passed out.
Part of me thinks it's
because
he moves away.
Why is no one other than the teacher?
I think, I don't know, it just makes me think that maybe... I've like I'm really privileged in the friends and family I have because I know that nobody would react like that if that happened to me.
Yeah.
But then, it's the teacher and the guard. They're the ones that are like, hey. This isn't cool.
Yeah.
Whereas, that's so weird. And it's education though, isn't it? Because Brian's in university, this teacher's a teacher.
This teacher's a teacher. And it's a small town atmosphere where everyone seems to stay around their town.
Yeah. To move away when Brian like goes away and comes back, that's when he realises it's really wrong what he's been thinking.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Just because he goes out of the town and then comes back.
Mm. No, he thinks that Emma's absolutely disgusting when he first sees the photos. Mm. And when Emma then
like makes a statement saying that she was raped, that's when Brian comes to her side.
As soon as you use that word.
Yeah.
In a weird way, she doesn't want to own the word rape, but no. it is a powerful word because it separates stuff in people's minds. And it shouldn't, but at least people know now that like 100 years ago, people didn't even use that word. They were just like, what?
And also just the whole, her reaction when it first happened, to me was just like, so realistic when she like texted all the boys to check that they were cool and like called them to be like, hey, by the way, like what happened last night, but like I'm not mad at you or anything, like,
and going to a party the next
and
week.
Going to a party and putting up this front of like, oh, it's all fine, because in her eyes the worst thing that could happen is that she's outcast and that she's not their friend anymore, and this is gonna sound so like it's about me, but it's not. But a friend of a friend had a similar thing happen to her when she was in school. One of the guys in their friendship group raped her, but she never said anything because she didn't want to cause a fuss, because it would like put like a schism in the friendship group, and she didn't want to turn everyone against him because everyone really loved him, and just all that bullcrap. It was just too real. It was just like, these people,
especially like, I think friendships are so delicate when you're that age. And also the damning way that schools are set up is that, you know, that like if you were an adult, if that happened in your workplace, you'd just leave your workplace, or like you wouldn't work with those people again, or you'd be put in a different office. But with the horrible shit show that school is, you have to get on with these people that you as an adult and as a normal human would just walk away from and never see again, because you don't have to, because the world's so big. Sorry, I'm really enraged at the fact that we have to stick with the same people for like 8 years. It's like really illogical to the rest of your life. And I think it makes you like form unhealthy like friendships with people that you should just eject. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, definitely.
And it's like, she's so scared because she knows she has to be around. It's like, oh, she's missing her leavers cert, and she's missing all this stuff.
And she's got a healthy friendship. I want to keep that as a phrase. You can have a friendship and yet it's unhealthy.
Yeah, you can have a body yet it's unhealthy. Yeah. And it doesn't look like it from the inside or the outside. You can't tell what a friendship looks like unless you know what you're feeding it.
Yeah.
And this is a cookbook waiting to happen.
We need to do a collab on unhealthy friendships. I'm so
down. Yeah, let's do it.
She needs everyone to know that she's cool with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she doesn't want... And it was exactly the same advice that she gave to Jamie when Jamie told her what had happened to her.
Mm.
Which was like, do you want to make a big fuss out of it? Do you want everyone to like... Because then it makes it like you versus them.
Mm-hmm.
Your word against that person's word. And then... And because of that, people will take sides.
I think it's interesting how... Is her name Molly? The one that goes kind of back to her and says, I broke up with Eli.
Maggie,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I broke up with Eli, like... And just like crying on her behalf and is upset like on Emma's behalf, but doesn't.
But I feel like that's what the hashtag is about as well, which makes me feel a bit weird about how I respond to stuff online as well.
Because none of the friends like.
Because you're crying for somebody you don't know, and I don't know, it feels like a kind of cathartic, like, I just want to cry about sexism in general, so I'm going to cry about your rape. And it's like, not okay though.
Interesting, but then do we feel the same about stuff like, what's her name? Lena Acorn?
Who's that?
Is that her name? The trans girl who committed suicide and became like this huge Tumblr thing and just became this icon. Oh, you should
know.
Lila. Oh, sorry.
Oh,
this
was
another
whole,
example.
Like, bill that got
Congress exactly.
Because
and
of her.
She became about, and
her parents sent her to like one of those like Christian correctional camps to make her not trans or something.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was awful. But she was like Emma in this situation. She just became a symbol of.
Yeah.
And because she suffered so traumatically through it. Anyway, I'm not sure.
No, it becomes like the golden cow of like what we're trying to... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then you have to talk about it.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It's how not to fetishise it.
Yes, exactly.
And how not to use it to project your... fetishising it.
Well, I've got a question.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about this being a young adult novel? And what do we think? We're all in our 20s. How would a, like, 15-year-old react to this book?
I would like to raise a 15-year-old who could react to this book well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they should be able to react to it. And I think they need to read it. And it saddens me that I probably think that it also makes me nervous to give it to 15-year-olds. It also makes me sad that I am nervous, but I don't think they should be. And I think they should probably hear about it. Because this character's 18.
Yeah.
So they should hear about it definitely beforehand. Or it could happen to them now. And like,
I don't know. I feel like 15 is a very vulnerable age. I say 16, 17. When you're a
but they're already having sex. Like, the legal age is 16.
Yeah.
So, like... Surely you need to be talking about these things before it's happening.
Yeah, my best friend from secondary school had a baby when we were like 15. So there, like, yeah, we should, like, should probably
let's not deny
probably
it.
Do it earlier.
I don't know. I just found it. I found this book at the age of 20 incredibly harrowing, and part of that is because of the environment I grew up in and went to school in. Wasn't nearly on this level, but you know, it mimics it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, yeah, I should have read it aged 15, but at the same time, yeah, I found it really hard.
I wouldn't have understood half of the themes in it if I read it when I was 15, because I didn't all I knew about consent when I was 15 was No Man's No.
That's interesting. Then maybe it's a good thing to read because it makes you think about the nuance of it more.
Maybe it should be read in conjunction with a reading group.
Yeah.
Or on a curriculum, because then, or with this podcast, maybe.
It needs to be read.
Put us on your curriculum.
It needs to be read with some degree of context.
We've sworn too much. It's too late for us.
It needs to be read with a kind
Save yourselves.
Sorry. Guys, it needs to be read with an understanding of the intention of the author.
Like, yeah.
Even with the author's note, it needs more context because of the nature of the protagonist. I really feel like you need to be an informed reader.
I was going to say, do you think someone could read that book and finish it saying, yes, she asked for it? Do you reckon anyone could do that?
Maybe not asked for it, but I definitely think on that spectrum someone could conclude that, because it's meant to be challenging.
Like, maybe not.
She really
maybe
not
that's why it's
far.
That's why it's hard.
Yeah. Maybe not that she asked for it, but her behaviour made it more likely for something like that to happen to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone
definitely.
Could, you reckon someone could read it?
Somebody could definitely say that, which isn't.
Which is
right.
Why. It's, yeah. Which is why supportive materials, I think.
Yeah.
Would be useful.
And
what
also,
were
you wouldn't want
intentions.
I was just going to say you wouldn't want to set it in class because of how triggering it is.
Yeah, that's true. It's really hard because you wanted to read it in conjunction with other stuff, and then you don't want people to have to opt out.
Yeah, exactly. And you wouldn't want to set, like, yeah, that level of harrowing read to people who were experiencing and living it.
But do you not remember 1984? That was a harrowing
book. I've not read it. I've seen the film.
There's like a... They attach a rat's cage to somebody's face, and then the rat burrows through his cheek, and there's loads of, like, really horrible sex in it that's horrific. And people go, oh yeah, it's fine, it's George Orwell.
But
and I'm
read
like,
it as a 15-year-old, 16-year-old. And I was just, all the sex stuff went well over my head. I just read it as like, this is a boring book, I don't understand.
Actually, that was my introduction to feminism and pubes, because everyone was like, she was so hairy in the book, gross, she had so many pubes. And I was like, oh good, well shit.
Oh wow.
Like, I just remember everyone being really appalled by her pubic hair.
Well,
in the when they're in the forest.
I haven't looked at this out. All I remember is the rat cage. That was really like.
Yeah, well, you,
and how
you would, wouldn't
it?
It's the most horrible bit. Anyway.
Guys, I've not read it.
We're getting. Okay, it's not. I mean, it is a
seminal. I'd recommend it.
Yeah,
me
I've got
too.
It. It's
but,
on the shelf. It's right there.
Right, author's intentions. That was where we were going.
Oh, yeah, author's intentions. So she says, the book ends very abruptly, I think we'll all agree.
Just like.
And she's like, it's really funny because the next page is like author's notes, and it's like, I know that I ended that pretty abruptly. Soz, not soz.
Yeah.
I quite like that though, because it was just leaves it open ended, but not open ended in a hopeful way. Open ended in a like.
But like, I just assume beyond that she will die. Like, she will commit suicide.
I didn't get that vibe.
It was so bleak. Like,
but you can
even
see
the
why
Connor
it's like
things,
really
nothing
hard.
Happens with that.
Yeah.
It's so bleak.
I think as well it's interesting because I think a lot of the media likes to cover strong women, and I always go on about how much I hate that phrase and how much it's like Katniss culture of like, we need to make great role models for our children to follow. They need examples. If you can't see it, you can't be it. And it's like, yes, but it's also kind of sexist to expect every girl who features in a book to be a heroine. Like, that's also kind of annoying.
Emma's kind of like an anti-heroine.
She's definitely, and I think that's what's good about it. It's like, it's also like, it's not like a parable where it's like, and this once upon a time there was a girl who got raped and then everything was fine in the end. It's like, actually, this is more like a case study rather than a
Because
fairy
people
tale.
Withdrawing their complaint. I keep saying complaint. I don't know if that's the right word.
She uses complaint, I think.
Does she?
Yeah.
People withdrawing their complaint in rape cases is a very common thing to happen because, I mean, why do you think that many, like, people have called a trial, like, the second rape? Because they're literally, like, everything
that Emma...
everything that Emma was worrying about happening in the trial would probably have happened, and that's traumatizing. I actually very much understand why she didn't want to go through with it.
I do, but
I would have understood why she did want to as well, but it's one of those decisions where I think she wasn't making it for herself, she was also making it for like everyone around her, because she saw herself as like everyone's burden and the reason why everyone else's lives were fucked. And so
she does
like,
it as a thing where she thinks things will get better, where in reality nothing would get better.
She needs to move out of that town.
Yeah, this is
and
the
that's
thing.
But that's why is she the one that has to like
go away,
run away and be pushed out?
She used to write a really good comment, it's free article on The Guardian. She doesn't, that's not the answer. Yeah. It's a joke. You looked at me really like Lena, can you be any less complex?
I was kidding. But like, yeah, I don't know, but there is like a certain kind of, she has no platform. She has nothing, she doesn't get
she
to make
to
say
blog,
anything for him. But then she doesn't have to.
No. It feels like her agency is so greatly reduced throughout this. This is one of the few books I've read where it seems like she has no choices.
She becomes a shell.
Yeah, yeah, she doesn't have choice, it feels like. She has to do it.
And it also, when I was reading it, I was like, this wouldn't happen to me. This wouldn't be me. This isn't how my family would react. This isn't how my friends would react. And they probably wouldn't react like that. And I probably wouldn't react like that. But that doesn't mean that I'm very privileged in the way that I could react, because I've been given agency. I've been equipped with agency.
Yeah.
That is in my bag of tools.
But is agency something that's given to you, or do you take it?
Ooh.
I think agency was inherent. Fuck.
No, definitely you have to keep clawing it back.
Yeah.
Oh, should we keep dropping it in the toilet like a phone, and then you have to get a new bit of agency, and then you have to, I don't know, I'm losing the tray. I don't know.
Should we round
I'm losing it. Like, that's a different book.
Losing it. Asking for it. Lose. No, never mind.
We're going crazy.
We're going okay, crazy. Any final remarks?
Did you want to talk about The Preacher? Well, I don't know. When we're talking about trial as well, it's interesting to note that The Preacher does a sermon on innocent to proven guilty. And she's like, apart from me, I'm a liar until I'm proven
And he shakes the
truthful.
Hands of the,
and
of the boys.
Yeah.
So it's implied
like
within that.
Lots
that he
of
is.
Religious undertones.
Yeah, and the whole town is very religious. Her parents are in church. The town revolves around the church, man.
Doesn't it?
What is the blurb on the back? There's a quote. Hold on, I got it.
They're good boys, really.
Yeah, they're good boys, really. This all just got out of hand. That's a quote that's on the back of the book.
I didn't notice that was on the back.
And I knew it was on the back, and I was, like, reading it, being like, when is this quote going to happen? Who's going to say it? It was her fucking mum. Her fucking mum said it. And I was like,
I never realised that. Of all the quotes they could have picked, and they picked that one for the back.
Yeah, I know. And it was her mum. I'm so sorry, it made me so mad, because I already wasn't a fan. I mean, none of us are a fan of the mum. But then, as soon as she said that line, and I was like, that's the line! I was even more mad. I was like,
it makes me think as well, like, there's some people that, like, you know, like, especially if you're in a friendship group, and there are boys in the friendship group, it always seems to be, like, some kind of, like something to be noted if the guy's really nice. People go, oh, he's really lovely.
Yeah.
Or have you met blah, blah, blah. They're really nice, like it's an anomaly.
Yeah, no one says
like,
that
like,
about women.
Nobody goes,
we're
oh... Nobody goes, Hannah, you're really nice. They do.
Oh, like, that Hannah girl, isn't she? Just
yeah, but
nice
I feel like
girl.
when people talk about men in the context of mixed gender friendship groups, they always have to comment on whether the guy is nice or not.
That's
like,
so true.
So fucked up, right?
That's
I'm
so
just like,
true.
Like I
they're even, good boys, really.
Yeah, and then for these boys to be good boys feels like an anomaly to this community. So they're like, no, we only make good boys here, and it's like. Your human factory is fucked, man.
Also, can we just talk about why was there this huge debate of whether or not the photos would be used as evidence? Why was that even being questioned? Like, obviously they should be used as evidence. I don't understand the Irish judicial system, but what?
Yeah, I was really confused by that.
I didn't understand why that ended up playing such a big role, just because it created outrage, I guess, and it showed what side people were on. Like,
do you reckon it's got something to do with the system... The system. Do you reckon it's got something to do with the judicial system being old-fashioned and not knowing how to deal with screenshotted Snapchat photos as evidence? They've got no way of like processing that. Is it something?
Yeah,
to do with
it's
that?
Weird. But maybe. Then I think they should. If it's just a JPEG, man,
it's just, it's just a JPEG in a rape situation. Just take them to a
take them.
Dark room, like print out the photos properly.
Yeah, they should have just gone to like Snappy Snaps. Wouldn't have been sorted.
Oh dear God. Get those photos printed and then submit them as evidence. I don't understand.
Snappy Snaps, like staff, must see a lot.
That would be the cherry on top of a bad day.
Now they don't see anything.
Oh, shall we talk about sexting? Nudes? Is that a theme?
It kind of it.
Is it?
It's the consent. Okay, so I guess we can
talk about the Snapchat part in this.
All of those photos were taken on Snapchat and they were screenshots.
And then they were put on Facebook later.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Yeah. I missed that part. Millennial
that
hey, what?
She gets. Oh, that makes so much more sense because, like, they haven't created the Facebook page for her.
No.
Other people have done it.
They sent the Snapchat during the night.
Is, yeah, not that.
So they would have been taking photos on Snapchat throughout the night and just sending them to My Story or whatever. And then people screenshotted them.
Horrible.
And then somebody made a
So I guess as well, just quickly, I mean, it's a big topic, but just to acknowledge the fact that this pushes on the whole, like, Jennifer Lawrence nudes being leaked and then her coming back and being like, that's not okay. I don't know why I'm bringing Jennifer. It's happened to, like, most female celebrities, but I just remember Jennifer Lawrence's reaction particularly, and then her coming on the front of Vogue or Vanity Fair, was it? I don't know. And, like, it was a big statement that she'd, like, reappeared.
Yeah.
She'd reappeared on the front of Vogue.
Because another issue... like, wow.
Yes, she's still in the world.
Because another law that they're breaking, I think, but it's not addressed, is the revenge porn law.
Yeah, but that's very new.
But it's also Ireland.
Ireland haven't legalised abortion yet, have they?
Yeah, Ireland a bit behind.
Crikey. They just got postcodes.
Really?
High five! They got her postcodes a few weeks ago. High five, Ireland! Shout out!
Go, Ireland!
Actually love you guys, trying to get an Irish passport at the moment, so please let me in.
Quick thing about internet and, like, social media and the role it plays in shaming people now. Mm. I remember being in school and a Facebook page being created full of gossip and then my friend's pregnancy got outed. Ooh. Or, like, her, like, getting pregnant.
Scandal.
But they'd say, you know, like, Easy E with blonde hair. Bah, da, bah, da, bah.
Right, yeah.
How do you communicate goggly eyes with a podcast? My eyes are really open.
that kind of thing was like,
Lena looks shocked.
I would love a book that explored that even more in depth. Like, that real aspect of what we've lived, of social media shaming and naming and the naked pics.
But also I thought it was so interesting that they asked what her age was and she'd turned 18 recently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, God damn it, if she was 17, they could have just easily been done for, like, sharing paedophilic images.
Yeah, and she only turned 18, like, 2 weeks before, didn't
she? And you're just like, ugh. But that's...
Just like, yeah, this would have been a straight-up kind of...
Yeah, it would have been easy. This would have been a paedophile issue, not a rape issue.
And he's 10 years older as well, so it's just frustrating because you're like, you're still taking advantage of someone so young.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think those laws that apply to children actually should just apply to everybody. I think sometimes we guard children too much, but in issues of consent and sex, I think actually everyone should be protected by those laws. Like, it's you know, it's like, oh, you shouldn't share pornographic images of children because they can't consent. And it's like, well, nobody consent, like... You know, unless you do actively consent, everyone should go down in the same way for sharing naked pictures of, I don't know.
Well, that's why we have revenge porn now, at least.
Call to arms! Call to arms!
Call to arms. Okay, final remarks. It was harrowing and difficult. Don't read it if you're in a bad place. Like, try and be in, like, a relatively stable
frame of mind. Everyone who's listening to this has read it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
If you haven't read it.
Fuck everyone.
Fuck the police. Actually, yeah, genuinely fuck the police.
Oh, yeah.
That's my thoughts. Or what they called the arm. The guards. Fuck the guards.
Like, I feel like it's definitely... It's exemplifying... You guys are going to hate me for this. It's exemplifying a worst-case scenario, which makes it a very difficult read. Important.
Why am I going to hate you for that?
I don't know. I feel like...
I can hate you.
Because it is... Obviously, it's making a phenomenon, you know, it's society is like this. Mm.
The book is a statement.
But it's probably a very good reason why it's done well in America, you know, because, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, it felt really, like, just difficult, whereas some people it will be a real eye-opener.
Yeah, that's true.
I would love to talk to someone who this completely changed their perception about sex and consent. Because I don't feel like it's changed our perceptions that much.
I think that was just painful.
Actually, the bit that I think I'm going to change it how I think I've changed because of this book, because of the parts where she's like, stop, I wish I would stop trending on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because I'm the person in London writing funny little Jezebel articles about it.
Yeah.
And being like, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about rape. And it's like, yes, we do, but so with the people who are experiencing it.
I don't know.
Oh. Come on, Lena.
Giving people voices, but they offer her a voice in the book, don't they? They're like, they're contacting her and being like, have an interview with us, talk about it. And she's like, no.
I think we need to stop talking to people who aren't from the same place as us, but I guess we're on the internet. But it's also like talking to people quite younger about it. I feel like she was very ill-equipped. She's 18. But actually, if you change the ages in this, I would have believed she was 15. Easily.
Yeah.
Kind of because she's a bit horrible and immature in general. But then I think also if somebody is really beautiful in a community like that, they're kept young because they don't need to polish their wit because they're already being valued for their
But she's also really smart. Did you see the bit where... So Jamie is super smart and gets like the best grades, and she has this competitive streak with Jamie about getting better grades. But Emma lies and is just like, oh, I just revised like last minute this morning.
When actually
she's been up for hours.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so she's doing really well in her exams under the pretense of having done no work, when actually she's done loads of work because she's trying to keep up with Jamie.
Yeah.
So
that's sad, man.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like the book
side thought.
Mm. It condemns a lot of stuff, but not. I feel like the internet can be the young people today get a lot of extra education through the internet. You don't really get kids growing up these days. Kids, oh my God, who am I? Teenagers growing up these days who have not ever been on Tumblr or like have not ever seen a Lacey
but
Green video.
It's like how you, I was going to say Lacey Green actually.
Yeah.
Like, it's like how you make sure the right things circulate. Because you could see a lot of like rape porn on the internet and then not see a Lacey Green video.
You can see a lot like, of KSI videos
think,
for
I always
every
think
Lacey
everyone,
Green.
I always think that everybody knows what Nerdfighteria is, and it turns out quite a lot of people don't.
Yeah, most people don't.
Hands down, most people. So I think it's more like actually, like I'd love to go into schools and talk about this kind of thing and just be like, hey, have you ever thought about, do you know what I mean? Like make it so people can't miss it. I don't know what that sound was. That was me rapping about sex apparently, really.
Good times.
I really enjoyed talking about this.
Yeah,
me too.
This has been good. This has been a lot longer than I thought it would be.
Sorry.
We'll see what I can edit it down to. Fun times.
Concluding at an hour.
Okay. So,
time flies when you're having fun, guys.
Oh, this has been great. Like we said, no idea how podcasts work. But if you like this podcast, let us know somehow.
If you're listening to this, is it 2018? Has Hannah finally worked out how to use podcasts? What's it like there? Are there hoverboards?
This will be the thing where we listen back to it when we're like old and podcast worthy, and we're like, oh good lord, we made this. God, it's like watching back your first video.
Okay, yeah, it's like your first Facebook post. Not really sure how Facebook works. Is this going to go on my wall?
This is our first podcast. Shame we have massive audiences.
What are we reading next month, Hannah?
Next month we are reading Vagina Monologues.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this. Actually.
I'm excited. It's a play. There's going to be lots of people shouting about their vaginas.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited for it. So if you want to join in the Banging Book Club next month, get your hands on the Vagina Monologues and read along with us.
Get your hands.
Get your hands on the vaginas. Hey, all with consent, guys. With consent.
Yeah,
as we've learned from asking for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Use the hashtag Banging Book Club on Twitter if you want to talk and meet fellow banging book clubbers.
I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of people tweeting about this.
Yeah, please tweet us.
If you make videos and you've made a video book review, then also tweet that at us, because I'm going to be making a playlist of all of the Banging Book Club video reviews, so you can tweet them and then I'll add it to that.
Yes.
If you want to see what we're going to be reading throughout the year so you can buy the books in advance, then there is a Google Doc that we will link that has all of the books that we're going to be reading. Also, December's book will be decided by you, the lovely readers. So have a think. Good
all
times.
Right. Should we say our goodbyes?
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for listening.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We have been the Banging Book Club.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Hold
up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.